We have to direct our souls because our souls will not do what's right if we don't. Amen. That's why we have to be born again, is to receive the ability and the power to do what's right, to be a godly person. In 2 Peter 1 and 3, it says, "And according to his power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness." According to his power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, you have been equipped to live this life. God has given you the equipment. He's given you the ability and the equipment. Next Sunday, Pastor Rob's going to be preaching. I'm going to be down at Cedar Valley installing a leadership team down there next week, ordaining some people and installing a leadership team. Just thank God for that. God is opening things up, giving us opportunity to develop the things he's given us, given me several years ago. God began to speak to me several years ago about establishing spiritual gates around this area, and he told me where those places were. And just recently, this last year, that those doors have been opening, and now we're beginning to see that happening. It's very important for this area because of establishing the perimeter and establishing the region and the presence of God. And that's one of the things that we haven't done. We've had, you know, everybody's just worked independently. And especially in this area, this area is such an independent-minded bunch, especially in churches. I mean, churches are so independent, you know, and don't like to work together. But God's been helping us break that down, and we're starting to see that happening. And that's what is coming up on November the 10th. There are going to be three worship teams from three different churches combining together, and we're just going to have a night of praise and worship. And this is a vision my son had, actually. He's the one that's behind this, Benaiah. And he's the one that's instigating this and pulling it together. And the thing is, I wanted to do that. I've had this idea in my mind for that in November, to have a time of just thanksgiving and praise. And he came to me and said, "Hey, Dad, I want to do this," and explained it to me. And I said, "Well, good, thank God, I don't have to do it." And that's exactly what I wanted to see happen. But it's coming together, and it's beginning to grow. One of the churches that God showed me out east, that is another important position geologically for this area. I've been praying over that. I haven't been able to, you know, get in there or become part of it. And just last week, I think it was, a young man that I know, that I'm close to, and I know he'll work with me, became the pastor of that church. And so, praise God. He's opening doors, and things are beginning to happen. And praise God for that. We've been talking about the kingdom of God for, I'll probably preach on this the rest of my life, because it's something that's very important to me. And learning to live, learning to walk in the kingdom of God, very few Christians know how to do this. It's not something, we look at ourselves as being Christians in this world. We don't view ourselves as being inhabitants of the kingdom of God living in this world. We are representatives. We are ambassadors. We're not here just to be kicked around like little dogs and just hang on till Jesus comes. We're here to take ground. God has established us as the ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Amen. So we got to get that focus. In Matthew 6:33 is the verse we've been using for a long time. It says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen. If you seek the things by using the kingdom of God, you're going to be disappointed, because that's greed. And man, there's plenty of that today. Praise God. I'm not going to get on that, but I call them the worshipers of mammon. We've got preachers and ministries that have absolutely sold out to the almighty dollar, and they worship mammon. Everything they talk about is money. Everything, every message they preach is money. I actually have, there's actually preachers now, and I'm trying my best not to be critical. I'm just being, this is you need to hear this. This isn't criticism, this is standards. And I've had several evangelists and preachers come to me and say the strangest thing to me. They say, God has anointed me for money. I have an anointing to raise money. And I listened to that for a long time, just kept my mouth shut. I tried to do that. It don't work very I'm a very opinionated person, so I have to really watch what I say. And the last guy that did that, he come to me with just a smug, you know, arrogant, God has anointed me for money. And I couldn't hold it back anymore. I said, what in the world did you do to get demoted like that? He said, what are you talking about? I said, Jesus said money is the least of everything. I said, man, you got all the way down the bottom of the totem pole. What did you do? Just popped his balloon. I said, look, I said, God has anointed us to preach the kingdom. Yeah. Amen. And all these other things will be added to you. Amen. Of course, I have the strangest approach to things. I don't try to raise funds. I don't get out there and try to develop a budget for things that God's called me to do. He tells me to go. I say, God, send me. He sends me. He pays for it, and we do it. You know, I don't have a budget. It would be so much better if I had a budget. It'd take a lot of stress off of you, I can have absolutely nothing, and God tell me to go do something that's going to cost $10,000, and I say, look, God, I'm you're my provision, you're my source, I'm your servant, send me, and I'll go. And so that's what we do. Amen. We're planning on going to India in January. That's going to cost a bunch of money. And God, it's his deal. It's his thing. Amen. The kingdom of God is his, and we are inhabitants of the kingdom, and we're representatives and ambassadors of the kingdom. And what God does is we say, God, fill my hands with provision, and I'll transfer it. And every time that there's a need, God blesses one of you, and the provision is met. Amen. Because he passes it through your hand. He blesses us. And there's no pressure in it. It is a partnership with God. We are in partnership with him. Amen. Praise God. Come on. Get the shout back. You start talking about money and we tense up. Amen. I ain't taking up an offering right now. You should have already gave that. When we talk about the kingdom of God and the things that are in the kingdom, some of the things that we need to focus on, I talked last Sunday about the influence of words, how that words impact our life, the things we hear and the things we hear repetitively and the things we decide to meditate on is what becomes the guiding line of our life. That's what dictates what we are, who we are. We become that. Our thinking process is formed by the things we hear repetitively and the things we meditate on. And so we have to watch our meditation. I want to begin to talk about the kingdom of God. In order to be successful in the kingdom of God, you've got to have these things called values, standards, and you've got to have things in your life that are sacred. I realize that that's something that people are trying to remove today. Amen. I'm a changer. I've went through a lot of wars in the kingdom of God, because I've always been a changer. I hate golden calves, okay? When people develop these golden calves, these untouchable things that they can't, the church can't grow and go beyond it because we have this golden calf we worship. Well, I don't like, I've always been one to tear that stuff down. And so we constantly progress, but there still has to be things that we hold sacred in our life. Amen. Not the pew that you're sitting on. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 40 years. I've been preaching for almost 40 years. And if we're not careful, we start attaching to the structural things, and it becomes our comfort zone. We like this, we like that. You know, there have been more churches split and come apart over the color of the church, the color of the carpet, what we do, what we don't do, and stuff like that. There's been massive fights in churches over stuff like that. That is not what we hold sacred. We hold this building sacred. We have established it as a place of worship, but it's what goes on inside of here is what is sacred. Amen. Praise God. I hope I can communicate that. I mean, we got to take care of the facilities. We dedicate this to God. We've dedicated this building to worship, but I got to tell you something. The worship that takes place in your heart is what is sacred. Amen. Praise God. Values. How many understand values? The core values of this church is four main core values: love, honor, grace, and truth. Love, honor, grace, and truth. We got it on the side of the building out here. When you drive by, it's there. We got it on the overhead. Love, honor, grace, and truth. And the reason we established those is because we wanted to make sure that everything we do as a church, decisions we make, have boundaries and guidelines that we go by, to where the decisions we make, we have to first say, okay, does this fit in these four values? Does this fit in these core values? And so when you do that and you practice that, it becomes a way of life for you. It just becomes that. You don't even think about it after a while. You quote it enough and it becomes part of your system. So values, you know, when you look at in the dictionary what values are, it always has to do with monetary value. That's what they use that word for. But values is more than monetary value. Values are things that we esteem. It's that which is valued in our lives is seen by the effort we invest to protect it. When something is valued in your life, you put forth effort to guard it, to protect it. You won't let it be taken away from you. You make sure you protect that thing. If you value your children, you guard them all the time. Amen? You always got your eye on them. Especially today. I almost just go berserk when I see kids just running wild out in public, and it's like somebody guard these children. You know? And because it's not safe out there anymore. Amen. Praise God. We need to guard them. Then we need to teach them how to protect themselves. Praise God. That's right. I told my daughter-in-law the other day, I said, look, I want my granddaughters to start, as soon as they're old enough, to start taking self-defense classes, because I want them to be able to protect themselves. I don't want to raise victims. I want them to be able to protect themselves. Amen. Come on, somebody. Feel my blood pressure going up even talking about that. I got to get off that. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul talking to Timothy, he said, O Timothy, guard and keep the deposit entrusted to you. This is an Amplified Classic Bible. Guard and keep the deposit entrusted to you. Turn away from the irreverent babble and godless chatter, with the vain and empty and worldly phrases and the subtleties and the contradictions in what is falsely called knowledge and spiritual illumination. We have a lot of things being voiced today. A lot of people are trying to develop your value system because they have an agenda. Our nation right now is under siege by an agenda. And that agenda is to change the value system of this nation. That's the reason they're going after history. They're going after statues. They're going after the Constitution. They're going after the Ten Commandments. They want to erase the foundation of the values of this nation, because they cannot change this nation to that what they want until they erase those values. And they're doing a really good job of it. There are people today that don't have the slightest clue of even how this nation was founded. Matter of fact, one of the main churches in Washington, D.C., this week, under pressure, decided they've got a portrait of George Washington, the founding president, in their church. And under pressure, they decided that they had to remove that portrait because it was offensive to some people. Anybody that is offended by the founder of our country doesn't need to be in this country. Amen. I told you I'm opinionated, and it comes across. I try to be soft, but when people attack values, there's only one reason they're attacking values, and it's because they have an agenda to implant their own value system in you so that you will not withstand them. You will not hold them back from what they want to accomplish. And so we've got look at the attacks that have been against the police officers in our nation. The police officers, I'm sure there's corruption out there. You can't help it. When you deal with that stuff all the time, there are going to be those that are going to get a bad attitude. And there's going to be things that are done wrong. But a very small percentage, very small. And yet, there's riots against that very small percentage, but I don't see anybody rioting against the rapes and the murders and the gun violence. Chicago has the strictest gun laws, and yet there are more people shot in Chicago, Illinois, than any other place. Why aren't they rioting? Because they have an agenda, and the agenda is to break down the laws and the values of this nation so that they can control and dictate over this nation. And there's people that are holding them back. I'm one of them. And coming against their agenda. Well, the reason is because we have to fight for and guard the value system that we live by, and we determine that value system. You know, we say that we believe and we hold sacred the Constitution of the United States, and yet most of us have never read it. People in churches fight over them removing the Ten Commandments from a public place, and yet most of those people can't quote the Ten Commandments. See, what we say we hold valuable in our life is only valued by the efforts we put forth to protect that which we say is valued. Amen? Oh, it's getting quiet and tense in here. Y'all was amen to me when I was talking about them other people. Our value system in the kingdom of God has to be established by the dictates of the kingdom of God. And that comes through the Word of God. If we don't know what the Word of God says, we won't know how to live in the kingdom. We have to have a value system. We have to guard and keep the deposit that has been entrusted to us. Our values are more than just values, are a little different than standards. Values is something that you are emotionally invested in. Not only emotionally invested in, but you're sentimental about it. You have sentimental feelings about what you value. Okay? Some of you have a hard time throwing away an old pair of shoes because you remember all the places you've wore those. Most of you women couldn't remember where you wore those shoes because it's just there's so many. But we apply value to things like that, you know? I'm not a real sentimental person. Betty is a very sentimental person. We're night and day when it comes to that. She values things, puts great value on things. I really don't, you know? I'm always going for the next thing. Where are we going? What are we doing, you know? But the older I get, the more I keep having these really weird feelings that I've never had before. And I feel these, and I'm beginning to understand what it means to feel sentimental. And it's really strange. I don't even know how to react to it sometimes. I feel sentimental about stuff. And now that I've had grandkids, oh my goodness. You know, you feel so protective. I was protective of my kids. I mean, you didn't bother my kids. But now that I've got grandkids, good night. You know, of course, I've never had daughters. I've always had boys. I've never had daughters in my life. And then I started getting these daughter-in-laws. And they just, you know, somehow they wiggle their way right into your heart, you know. And then granddaughters. Why didn't somebody prepare me for having granddaughters? How do you deal with that? This is territory I've never been in before. I mean, my little granddaughter, Arya, you know, I've always been very black and white. You know, this is the law. This is what you do. And, you know, obey me the first time. If you don't obey, you can ask my boys. I mean, if I told them to do something and they didn't do it immediately, as far as I was concerned, they were rebelling. And they paid the price for it. Yes, I was a dictator. I was paying the bills. I was a dictator. They lived in my house. I did not live in their house. I tell parents all the time anymore, I say, why do you live in your children's house? The children dictate, they run, they dictate the family. That child lives in your house. Come on, somebody. Preach it. I'm preaching good now. Little Arya, you know, she's what, 3 years old? She'll climb up on my lap when she wants something, and she'll do that little tiny voice, you know, hey, Papa. And she'll play with my beard and while she's talking to me, and she'll rub my face, you know, and stuff. And I told Betty the other day, I said, my goodness. She's not even 3 years old. She already knows how to do that. I mean, manipulating me. And it's like, I can't hardly say no. She's ripping my heart out, and I'm saying, no, we can't do that. And the whole time I'm saying, no, we can't do that, I'm feeling these emotions that I never felt before. And I feel all soft and mushy and emotional. And after they leave, I spend about 2 days just in remorse over the fact that I told her no. It's like, what are you doing to me? This isn't me. Wasn't prepared for. What is it? It's value. I'm emotionally attached, and therefore there's sentimental value. I don't get real attached to inanimate objects. I mean, I don't get attached to things like that very much. But I do get attached to people. And you know, once I commit to somebody, I can't just cut that off. I mean, I carry every person I've ever invested in the 40 years that I've been in ministry, I still carry every one of them in my heart. I can't just cut people off. I can't just, once I have committed to somebody, once I've invested in somebody, I'm there, you know, and they're part of my life from then on. And so we get attached. Values. What do you value in the kingdom of God? What are the things that you value in life? What are the things that you really esteem? You've got to learn to value the Word of God. You've got to get it in your heart and become emotionally attached to the Word of God, to where it literally is part of your emotional well-being. Okay? Sister Pam was talking about it today. She's having to discipline herself by the Word of God. What is that? She was causing her emotions to attach to what the Word says. And that's the only way you can bring stability to your life. You've got to be able to park yourself on something that has a foundation. Jesus said that if you build on His Word, it'll be a rock that the wind and the storms can't remove, can't blow you down. But if you build on the sand of this world, then you'll be destroyed. And so the value system that you develop, it will be determined by what you impart to yourself, what you spend time valuing, what you spend time putting into your spirit. When Scripture actually has a value in your life, it's something that you meditate on. It's something that you think about. There needs to be Scripture in your life that causes a value system in your life. I have scriptures that are just part of my life. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That is not just a scripture that I quote. That is a part of me. That is a value that I have. I have determined in my heart a long time ago that I would continually bless the Lord regardless of my circumstances. And I have done that. I've practiced that through loss. I've practiced that through hurt. I've practiced that through death. I've practiced that through every part of my life. And I continually bless the Lord regardless of my circumstances. It's a value that I've invested my emotional well-being in, and I feel sentimental about it. I can tell I'm not going to get through this today. We're going to be talking about this for a while. We still got standards and sacred things to talk about. But values, what do you value? As you can tell in this church, I value worship. I mean, it's a big part of my life. I have invested my life in developing worship in the church. I've went through the battles. I've went through the fights. I've pushed forward. I've done my best because I wanted the presence of God. I wanted worship that was pure. I wanted worship that was expressive, and I wanted worship that was professional. Not professional. What? Exceptional. I thank God for the worship team we got because they're all perfectionists. Every one of them are perfectionists. They have worked and mastered their craft. Matter of fact, the sign of every successful person is somebody that masters their craft. They don't just do something because somebody requires it of them. They do it because it's their life. It's what they invest in. And no matter how good they get, they constantly try to improve themselves. They never get to a place where they stop learning. People that are successful, Warren Buffett, everybody knows the name Warren Buffett because he's one of the richest men in America. He's in his 80s. He's got billions of dollars. Matter of fact, his sister, I saw an interview with his sister, and he's taught his sister how to invest and everything. And she said, every day I get up, I work every day of my life to give away money. And she said, that's all I do is give away money. And she said, at the end of the day, when I get through giving away money, I have more money than I started the day with. And you say, well, how do you do that? You do it because you apply yourself and you master your craft. Warren Buffett, in his 80s, has exceeded everything that anybody could do. He has billions of dollars. And yet, still yet today, he strives every day to improve his knowledge and improve himself. He reads an average of 8 hours every day in his 80s. Still educating himself. I'm not talking about novels. I'm talking about educating himself. He still reads an average of 8 hours every single day, educating himself. And people say, well, how did he do that? He mastered his craft and he invested himself, and it was a value to him. Matter of fact, it's not the money that he values. It's the process that he values. The money just accumulates because of what he does. Okay, you understand what I'm talking about? When we want to be successful in the kingdom of God, you have to apply yourself to the basic principles of the kingdom. You got to get them in your heart. You've got to master your craft. One of the things that I was listening this morning, and I was the worship team, you did amazing this morning. Amen. I mean, the precision of the instruments and everything was great. The singing, everything was great. And one of the reasons is because they work at it all the time. Every Monday night, they're here, and they practice, and they work at it every Monday night. Most churches show up on Sunday morning, the instruments and, you know, the people playing, they come dragging in right before church starts. They try to tune their instruments, and then they try to make something happen, you know? And it sounds like they're trying to make something happen. It's confused. They're out of beat with each other. They're out of sync with each other. And you know, especially Pentecostal churches have this thing of well, you know, the anointing will make up for it. Not if you're singing off key and playing out of tune. The anointing will not make up for that. If you're singing off key, nobody's going to be able to worship. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And if somebody's playing out of tune, it is not going to be effective because everybody's going to be going. You know what I'm talking about? But excellence with the presence of God causes us to be released into worship. And we're able to worship. You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. But I was thinking about this morning. If we really value worship, like we say we do, I was asking myself the question this morning. I was asking myself, am I working as hard to be a worshiper as they're working to lead me in worship? Because as children of God, worship is part of our craft. It's what we do. And as people in the congregation, my dream, now listen to this, my dream for worship, yes, it's worship, okay? Get over it, it's worship. It's not worship, it's worship. My dream is for us to get to the place where what's happening out here drowns out what's happening up here. That's my dream. Matter of fact, my dream is for the congregation to get so caught up in worship that the worship team says, oh, we got to keep doing something. We got to keep going here. Because it all of a sudden, we become the worshipers. Amen. The last thing I want in a church is to have a stage show. Can't stand it. Don't want it. We don't come to watch a show. We come to participate. How hard are we working to develop our craft of worship? Amen. Every one of us is worshipers. You say, well, I can't sing. You can do something else. You can clap your hands. If you can't clap your hands on beat, you can raise your hands. If you can't do anything else, you can smile. Do something to look like you're worshiping God. I mean, you know, express yourself. Because it's part of our craft. It's a value. And when we adopt that value, as a pastor, I refuse to stand over here trying to think of what my next move is. You know, I've been around pastors all my life. I am one. I've been around them all my life. And I've watched pastors for years. I don't know why I'm getting on this so much. But I've watched pastors for years. While worship's going on, they're over there like this. They're thinking. You know, they're planning, and they're thinking. And I've asked them about it. I said, why don't you worship? Well, I've got to know what I'm supposed to do. I've got to, you know, got to keep this thing going. And I tell them, I say, listen, during the worship time, let it go. Just let it go. When it's over with, then you can go on with it. But just let it go. Worship God. There is something wrong in a church where we have a worship service, but the leader won't worship. Amen. It's See, I can preach on this because I'm a worshiper. All them other people. There's a lot of times that Sister Val has to get my attention at the end of the worship. Or, you know, she's up there playing, you know, going, you know, it's your turn. Because I'm lost in worship. It's not just a thing that we do, okay? It's not just a thing that we do. It's not just a traditional part of our church. It is a value. And I'm very protective of that value. We need to be protective of the value because it's a part of us. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who has forgiven all of our iniquities, who has healed all of our diseases, who has delivered our lives from destruction, who has crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who has filled my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. Come on, that's a value. And when you get that in your heart, it is a value you carry with you all the time. Amen. I quote that all the time. A lot of times when I'm driving to work, I go through Psalms 103 as I'm driving to work, and I start out with blessing the Lord. I command my soul to bless the Lord, and I go through that. Lord, I thank you for all the benefits. I worship you for the benefits. Oh, God, thank you that you have redeemed my life from destruction. Thank you that you have healed my body. Thank you, God, that you have forgiven all of my iniquities. And I just go through that. God, thank you. You have healed all. You have forgiven all my iniquities. God, everything is forgiven. It's under the blood. I've been washed by the blood. It's washed away. And I am forgiven today. God, thank you that all the diseases have been flushed out of my body. And a lot of times I'll go through that. God, thank you that cancer has been flushed out of my body. Thank you, God, that the diseases are flushed out of my body because you have healed all of my diseases today. And I am healed in the name of Jesus. And I go through that. God, thank you. The devil's tried to destroy me, but you have delivered my life from destruction. And I am delivered today from destruction. There's nothing can destroy me because you have delivered my life from destruction. Man, when you just go through that, it's just worship, it's praise. It's not something that you just quote to try to get something. It's a value system that you're emotionally invested in and you're sentimental about it. You're protective of it. It's mine. Part of my craft as a child of God is to know how to worship God. Know how to invest in the things that God has given me, in the word that God has given me. To learn. I've been preaching the gospel in a couple of years, it'll be 40 years. That's hard to believe. I look so young. I don't understand. It's very difficult to comprehend, I know, but this year, matter of fact, this next month, me and Betty will have been married 39 years. In November, and we're 1 year away from our 40th anniversary. You know, it's like kids having a 40-year anniversary. I realize that. It's my opinion, okay? But then a year after we were married, I started preaching. So here in just a couple of years, I'll have been preaching the gospel for 40 years. I've done it all, seen it all, been through it all. I hope God help me that I think it's all behind me. Come on. There's a pastor told me the other day, he said, you know, I appreciate the fact that you don't get blowed up with yourself. And I said, son, I've been stomped in the ground so many times, I've got so many holes that I leak. How could I get blowed up with myself when I leak all the time? You know, you just can't get all filled up with yourself when you got so many holes that you just leak all of it out. I mean, how can you get, you know, I realize some people going around singing, oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. Come on, somebody. I've met people like that. They need some holes knocked in them. They'll leak. Amen. Your pride will leak right out of you. You can't get it built up. But when we understand our value system, this is all I'm going to get done today. We'll probably be on this for a long time. But when you understand the value system of the kingdom of God and you invest yourself in that value system spiritually and emotionally, it becomes who you are. It's not something that you say you believe. It's not something your church believes. Not just something your pastor believes. It's who you are. It's what you have become that. Amen. So values in the kingdom of God are things that we are emotionally invested in as well as spiritually invested in, and it's things that we protect. We keep everything away from it. You know, it's valuable. You know, Sister Betty has different things in the house, and I don't guess we ever kid-proofed our house. And you know, she's got stuff from her mom and dad, you know, different stuff that's valuable sitting down on the floor where they can get to it and stuff. And we let them know that that's untouchable. You know, you don't play with that. And sometimes they'll get on their knees and sit right in front of it and look at it, you know. And they'll try, sometimes they'll reach for it and be going, you know, and it's like, but it's valuable. Something that's valuable. You set boundaries around it. You set boundaries. Things that you love, you set boundaries around. You guard that. You protect it. Amen. And then the kingdom of God in the church, we've got to do more than just go along and do what's required of us. You know, if there's anything that I can get across today is we need to get over the thing of just, okay, what's required of me? I'll come up to what's required of me. If that's all you do, then it's only a job. It's only a requirement. But if you invest yourself in it, if you master your craft, if you believe that you should love people, then you just don't wait until you have an emotion to love people. You invest yourself. You discipline yourself. You read scriptures about it. You quote scriptures. You develop that. Everything about you becomes that. And it becomes part of you. It's who you are. If you believe you should have peace in your life, as the Word says, you know, these declarations we do every Sunday morning, that's not just something to do. Those are what the reason I have us do that is because those are value systems. It's mission. It's position, and it's provision. We cover those three areas every Sunday morning in Scripture: mission, position, and provision, to help us understand this is who we are. Stand with me, if you would. You know, on the job, if all you do is what's required of you, what you think is required of you, then you'll never be anything but an employee. It'll just be something that's demanded of you, and you try to just appease those that are asking you to do it because it's something demanded of you. In other words, you're not invested in it. It doesn't mean anything to you. It's just a paycheck. But when you apply yourself to something and you look at it as something you need to conquer and master, it's no longer about what is required of you, because now you exceed that. Because it's something that you hold in your heart. Something you want to do. You want to get better at it. Amen. If you're involved in something you don't want to get better at, then that means that you're just existing and you're just doing what somebody asks you to do and requires you to do. And that's kind of miserable. But when you look at it as something that you want to invest, you want to conquer, you want to master this thing, then that's part of you. Part of you. Father, we just thank you. Lord, help us, God, to evaluate today what we really value. Help us to understand, Father, to invest in the things. Lord, we don't want to just do what we feel like you require of us to be a Christian. We don't want to just check boxes to try to prove that we're a Christian. But Lord, we want to excel in faith. We want to excel in the Word of God. We want to excel in who you are. Father, that we never, ever stop growing. We never, ever stop excelling. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we just spend some time in worship, God, I thank you for your presence. Listen, you can be healed right now. When I was out in California, my knees were hurting so bad I couldn't even walk. You can ask Damon and Betty. It was a struggle just to walk. We got to Bethel Church, and I thought, well, I'll have them pray for me. And then I thought, you know, my church has prayed for me over and over and over. I believe in their prayers just like I do anybody else. But I remembered some of the things that I've talked about, that during worship, if you really worship with all your heart, you can receive. And so I stood up, even though my knees were hurting so bad I wanted to sit down, I stood up and I said, God, I'm going to stand here and worship you regardless. And I just stood there worshiping the Lord, just focusing on him. And pretty soon I realized that I wasn't in as much pain. And that day, a healing process started that has continually got better and better and better. Why? Because I just opened my heart up and just began to worship. And as I worship, the kingdom of God become tangible in my life. So today, the things that you're battling, just spend some time right now while we worship. That's why we do worship at the end of the service. If somebody's wondering why, it's so that we can spend some time just receiving from God. Just start worshiping the Lord and open yourself. Let's worship today.
Worthy is the Lamb. nations roar. You are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move, into the sea the nations rage. I know my God is in control. The oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move, into the sea the nations rage, I know my God is in control. Oceans, the oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move, into the sea the nations rage, I know my God is in control.
Turn it back over to Pastor, but I'm just going to stay here because whatever the Lord wants to do, sometimes we don't give Him the opportunity. We rush through things and we just go on our way, but I want Him to do what He wants to do, and I turn that authority to Pastor to determine that. Thank you, Jesus. Just here in your presence, Lord.
Your name today, Lord. Father, we just lift up praise to you, Lord God. How worthy are you? You're above all things. You are above all things. Hallelujah. You're above all things. Things of God are more valuable than anything in this world. Father, forgive us for devaluing, putting so little effort and value into that which you've given us. Paul told Timothy, we want to guard that which has been deposited into us. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 God, I thank you for delivering the body of Christ from oppressive spirits, agitating spirits. Father, I thank you today, Lord God, that you have delivered us. You have set us free. Lord, we refuse to be oppressed when we have been so blessed. God, we're going to walk and rejoice in the blessings that you bestowed upon us, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we're just going to put effort, value into the things that you've given us, Lord God. We will not be distracted. We will not be taken away. But we invest in you today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. say this with me today. Through Jesus Christ, I am strong in my spirit. I am strong in my mind. I am strong in my emotions. And I am strong in my body. Because of Christ in me, I can do all things. Thank you, Father. Lord, I give you praise today. Hallelujah. I give you praise today.